You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Follow along as we study God's Word together.
The call of wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 20 begins, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. And at the entrance of the city gates, she speaks." And here's what she says. "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And how fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell securely and will be at ease without dread of disaster." This is the word of the Lord. What is wisdom? We've been talking about this the last several weeks as we introduce ourselves to the book of Proverbs and the fullness of it. It has been said that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is classified as a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put it in a fruit salad, right? There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. We are born into reality. That's just the nature of things. We don't make reality. Fire burns, gravity pulls, the winds blow, politics are divisive, thieves steal, wars happen. And knowledge is knowing about these things. But this is wisdom. Wisdom is skill in living life in this reality. I want to set that definition in your mind, because it's going to frame everything else that we do in this book. That wisdom is skill in living life in this reality. Wisdom is embracing this reality and skillfully knowing how life works, moving according to the reality in which we live. I've never been on a sailboat personally, but I've always been fascinated at really how they work. I mean, you think about it, this is a boat that's in water, and it's got current that's pushing against it, and it has these big sails that is intended to capture the wind. We all understand the idea behind it. Probably in elementary school, your teacher probably had you do some kind of a project where you blew on a piece of paper and made it move or something like that. So we understand that, except the fact that if you're a boat captain and you want to make your boat go like this and the wind is blowing this way, they can still do it. They can still capture the way that the wind is blowing and cause it to make their boat move forward. The wind doesn't always blow in the direction that you want, but the skilled captain of the sailboat knows how to read the winds and can adjust his sails to capture the strength of the wind to move his gigantic ship through the waters in the direction that he's going. That's really what living in wisdom looks like. It's not denying reality, it's understanding reality and using reality to flourish in life, to be all that God intended for you to be, to know that there is a way that things work and to live life skillfully in reality. This is what wisdom is. It acknowledges that if you find yourself in a seedy part of town, that it's best for you not to leave your wallet or purse in your car unlocked. Right? Like that's wisdom. That's just knowing the reality of where you are. As much as you want to have faith in humanity, you know that not all humanity holds the same values that you do.
Right?
You may be the kind of person that if you saw a wallet sitting in a car, you wouldn't smash the window and steal it out. Not all of humanity is like that. And if we deny that reality, then we're going to pay some consequences for it, right? The recovering alcoholic knows that he doesn't put himself within easy access of alcohol. He doesn't hang with friends at the local bar. Why? Because he knows his reality. He knows the state of his temptation. He doesn't deny reality. He actually knows it and skillfully lives in it. In today's text that we looked at here, wisdom is for the first time personified. What does it mean to be personified? Somebody tell me, what does that mean? Yeah, given human characteristics. If you've ever watched a Disney movie, you understand what personification is, because trees don't tend to talk, right? Neither do rabbits or rocks or anything else. But that idea of personifying something, giving it human characteristics and human traits, is going to be something that's going to show up in Proverbs a number of times, as both wisdom and folly or foolishness are personified. And they're both going to be personified as women calling, beautiful women who are calling for attention. And in this text, it's just the woman, or woman wisdom, who is personified. Wisdom is pictured as a woman loudly calling in the city streets and in the city square. And this woman is depicted not as the quiet woman of the home, kind of a motherly personality, but she is depicted as a woman with authority, beauty, purity. She is a strong woman that is depicted here. And the fact that this is a call in the streets is telling us that this is not intended to be something that is to be learned or studied only in cloistered academia or in schooling or something like that. This is something that is happening in the middle of the community hall, at the middle of a potluck gathering, as people are sitting on the bleachers for a basketball game. This is normal life is happening on the street, and it is in that environment that the woman wisdom stands up and says, "Listen to me." Wisdom is not about academia. It's about the situations that you put yourself into. It's about your work ethic. It's about your friendships. It's about your own prosperity. It's about life. And this is why wisdom is the skillful living of life within reality. It's an incredibly practical way that wisdom says things like, don't invest your savings in penny stocks. You may not know what those are, but just know this truth. Don't invest your savings in penny stocks, okay? It's the simple wisdom of saying, don't put yourself in an intimate situation with somebody that's not your spouse. It's not going to be a good thing. How about this one? Don't do drugs. It's a pretty simple statement. How about this one? Don't make your best friends people who do drugs. These are very simple, real life, in your world kind of statements that are just wise. They're good. They're right. They're beneficial. But wisdom also speaks to the deeply spiritual nature of our life. Seek the Lord first. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That general golden rule. Or seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Remember, we said that wisdom is both practical, but it is spiritual as well. It is spiritually given and spiritually understood. Remember, wisdom is about skillfully living in the reality of life. Now, wisdom's first statements are really profound. This is how she begins. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? The idea, just to define it, the idea of a scoffer is a mocker, somebody that mocks something. They're like, oh, well, look at this, right? How many of you students, I'm talking to students now, how many of you students are getting tired of people asking you, so, what do you plan on doing after high school? Anybody? Okay, I got like two or three or four or five. Okay, now I got some more people saying that. You know, like people are like, oh yeah, no. I'm getting tired of that. Because for most of the population, they're like, I have no clue. Like, I don't know, right? They're kind of petrified of this reality because you're like, I know that it's coming. And I know that my guidance counselor is telling me it is coming. And there are things that you can be doing now to help that transition happen, right? But we don't like that. We don't like asking that question because we don't like answering it. I don't know. Right? When I asked Shell's dad for permission to marry her, because I'm old school like that, he asked me, so how do you plan to take care of here? How do you plan to afford to be married to her? Right? That was the question that he asked me. And the real answer was, I don't have a clue. I'm asking for her hand in marriage, and I have no idea how I'm going to make this happen. But what I meant in that in my head was going, I don't know the specifics of exactly what I'm going to be doing for income to get ourselves married. I was 19 when I asked for permission for that, and so. But what I knew with absolute certainty is I was going to make sure it happened, right? I'm going to do whatever it takes. If I got to dig ditches, if I got to flip burgers, if I've got to, you know, be a pack mule for some, you know, construction company, whatever it is, I'm going to do whatever I've got to do to make sure that this happens. But that's not a great answer to tell a dad when you're asking for his hand in marriage. So I think I told him I was going to be a surveyor or something like, because that was what I was studying in college at the time. But if you ask a three-year-old what they want to do when they'll grow up, they'll say something like, I'm going to be a dinosaur, right? And you're like, that's awesome, right? Like, don't squish a three-year-old's dreams. If they want to be a dinosaur, let them grow up to be a dinosaur, okay? But again, if you ask a high school student, they say something like, I don't know, right? And if you ask a college grad, what are you going to do after college? In today's world, they say something like, I'm going to figure out how to pay off college debt. I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I'm going to deliver pizzas with my English major degree or whatever it is, but I'm going to pay off college debt. But really, nobody finds it funny if you ask a 40-year-old, hey, what do you plan on doing when you grow up? And they say, I don't know. Like that, it stops being cute, right? You know, it's the two-year-old that runs out of the bathtub naked in front of all the friends, and everybody's like, ah, you know. But the 26-year-old that does it, everybody's like, wah! You know, there's at some point in time, things change, right? And there's this aspect of growing up, of maturing, that says, what are you going to do that you can ask a three-year-old, and they go, I don't know. And it's cute, and it's funny, but a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old, it stops being real funny. At some point in time, it actually becomes willful ignorance. And this is the idea of what wisdom is calling out. She says, how long will you love being simple? How long will you love being simple? Somebody whose answer is, I don't know. I'm not growing up. I'm not making decisions. I'm not learning. I love being ignorant. I love not knowing. Just live life in willful ignorance. And the statement that they're making here is saying, listen, how long will you love that? This is wisdom calling this out. How long will you love living in that state, thinking that it's cute, being the one that says, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. There's a point in time in your life where that's okay. There's also another point in time in your life where that's not an okay thing to say. But worse still than this is the one who learns truth and mocks it. How long will the mocker delight in their mocking and the fool hate knowledge? Here's what this looks like in just a couple of examples. All of human history, let alone God's revealed word, but just human history by itself, has said that healthy societies are always built upon sexual relations existing exclusively between a husband and a wife. That's what human history has taught us. And God's word has revealed to us. And yet there are those who know this is true, have been told this is true, and yet they mock this as being old-fashioned or prudish or being on the wrong side of history. What about this? What about the idea that man is made in the image of God? Or, that's a biblical term, let's take a secular term. As the Declaration of Independence begins by saying, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that what? All men are created equal. It was a general idea of humanity, that humans are equal with each other. And we hear this truth, but what does it look like for us to mock this truth? It looks like racism. That's what it looks like. Racism is a mockery of reality. Or you say, what do you mean by that? There are no such thing as races. There aren't. Let me say this again to emphasize this point. There are no such thing as races. It was totally a construct of the late 1800s and early 1900s. There are different cultures. There's different physical features. But there's one race of humanity. The only way to be a racist is to say, I hate humans. I'm against humans. Races were an idea put forward by Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. And the whole point of it, was to make one race less human than another race. That was the whole point. This is why the genocide of Native Americans and the Holocaust of Jews in Nazi Germany took place. Because there were people believing what was being taught by Darwinian evolution, that these people were not as human as me. None of you, when you washed your hands this morning with antibacterial soap, grieved the death of the bacteria that you killed in that horrific action. And the idea of genuine racism is to say, we don't grieve bacteria, why would we grieve something that's not human like me? It's not reality. It's not. It has no basis in reality. And yet, cultures, societies, nations proudly mock the revealed truth of wisdom. How long will mockers delight in their mocking and fools hate knowledge? This is what wisdom is calling out. But there is hope for those who are willing to listen to wisdom. In verse 23, she says, if you turn at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. This is really what repentance looks like. It is a turning to correction from broken thought and broken behavior. It's an acknowledgement of God's reality. It's saying, God, I acknowledge what you have said is true, what you have said is right, and I believe it and I react to it. I respond to it. And now I place it as my own. There were many times in my early life that I thought, growing up in church, that I had a boring testimony. Anybody else have that experience? Kenton was a preacher's kid. He had that, you know, that experience, right? Because if you grew up in church, at least in church circles that I was at, you always the guest speakers, the guest evangelists that they would bring out were guys that had like horrific stories, right? These were, you know, I'd hear folks who had done drugs for decades. They had been to prison, and then God saved them. I remember an evangelist, he's dead now, because of his past life. But there was an evangelist that I met, and I kid you not, his name was Jack Daniels. That was his name. His given, like, that's the name his parents gave him on his birth certificate. And he said, it was always great. when I wasn't following the Lord, because I'd show up at a bar and I'd show him my driver's license and I'd get a free drink. Because like, hey, look, Jack Daniels is here, right? And you know, you hear these stories and you're just like, wow, like, you know, my drug problem was that I got drugged to church every time the doors were open, right? That was my problem, right? Sunday mornings, discipleship training, and that, like, Sunday was gone for me as a kid. There was no such thing as like free time on Sunday, right? Kids choir on Thursday night, youth thing on Wednesday, you know, it was just all this stuff. But it wasn't until much later in life that I actually began to realize what a glorious and grace-filled gift it was for me to be able to say, I saw the pain and destruction that alcoholism and partying and sleeping around produced in other people's lives. And I said no before I jumped into it. It wasn't a part of my story. And if that's you, if you're going like, you know what, I haven't made monstrous mistakes, praise God, that is His gracious hand guarding you, holding you fast. You don't have to learn at the school of hard knocks. You don't. And those who have learned it at the school of hard knocks will tell you, it's a bad school, don't go there. Right? That's what they'll tell you. Those older adults who are speaking into your life and you're going, man, they just don't want me to have any fun. No, we've already made dumb decisions. We've already made dumb mistakes. We don't want you to do it too. We don't want you to experience those kind of hardships. But what if you do decide to go to the school of hard knocks? What if you hear the truth of wisdom being put forward to you and you decide, forget it. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Wisdom has a warning for you in this passage. In verse 24, she says, because I have called and you refuse to listen, I've stretched out my hand and you didn't heed me. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. That's a pretty hard statement, isn't it? I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. This is one of those passages you read in the Bible and you go like, that doesn't sound very nice. Now, is this a passage giving us permission to mock someone who's made poor decisions? Is that what this passage is about? No. Are you the Lady Wisdom? Are you the Lady Wisdom? What's your name? Not Wisdom, right? You're not the Lady Wisdom. It's a rhetorical question. Maybe he's saying yes. No. This is not a passage giving us permission to mock someone who's made poor decisions. This is saying that wisdom, genuine, skillful truth in reality, will not be denied. It won't be denied. When wisdom is put forward and rejected, wisdom, not us, wisdom itself will say, okay, I told you so. Right? We don't walk up to somebody that is good counseling 101. Never walk up to somebody and say, I told you so. Right? That's not good counseling. But wisdom does do that. Wisdom says, this is truth. It's going to bite you. It's going to hurt you. It's not going to turn out well for you. Actions have consequences. That's the reality of what wisdom is declaring here. Not all calamity is our own fault. The whole book of Job is the reality that there are bad things that happen to good people. But there are a lot of bad things that happen to us as a direct result of our own decisions. Right? Remember I told you about Jack Daniels? He died of liver failure. After being a believer for a long time and preaching the gospel and being an evangelist. Because actions have consequences. If you smoke too much, you get lung disease. If you sleep around, you get STDs. If you steal, you go to jail. Actions have consequences. That's what wisdom is saying. But these calamities, they're ones that we can see. Those are the big ones, right? You know, don't go do drugs. Don't go steal. Don't, you know, those kind of things. Those are big. Those are, you know, we can spot those coming. But what about the ones that we don't see coming? What about the consequences that we don't see showing up? You gossip with your friends, and you lose credibility as a trustworthy person. You flirt with someone online, you lose your integrity. The consequences of forsaking wisdom, they're easy to see on the big things. But just as destructive on what the world considers little things. Those things that we just kind of, what's character? What's integrity? What's, you know, what's trustworthiness? What's honor? And it comes back to bite you. And it comes back to bite you even if you're a great person. Even if you've done everything you could do to make up for it. Actions have consequences. The consequences of forsaking wisdom, they're easy to see. On the big things. But those small things, the world considers them insignificant. Now in this poem, which is what this is structured as, the woman Wisdom, she's been addressing the hearers in the second person. I had to get with Shell last night to make sure I had this right in the way this goes. You know, the second person is, if you're talking about the first person, it's talking about me, I, right? Second person is I'm talking to you. Third person is you're talking about them. And here she's been addressing the hearer in the second person. Listen, I'm telling you, listen to my counsel. Listen to what I'm telling you. Would you hear what I'm saying? But in verse 28, it changes. See if you can catch it. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, who have none of my counsel, or would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and have their fill of their own devices. What happened? What happened in it? She went from? Say again? They got the reward they were looking for. She went talking directly to them. To now the third person, there it's as if they're not even present. They instead of you. She says, they will call and I will not answer. They will seek and they won't find. Everyone who finds themselves in a bad spot, in a bad situation, as a direct result of their own decisions, they want to find a way out. They want to get out of these consequences. They want to get out of this situation. But these, as it's being put forward here, that wisdom is speaking to them, why do these not find it? Why don't they find wisdom? Why don't they find their way out? Wisdom tells us, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is often described as what? The beginning of wisdom. That's what Proverbs tells us. When somebody says like fear the Lord, how does fear of the Lord often get described?
Reverence.
Respect, a holy awe kind of thing, right? And there is truth to that, but it actually is kind of a shame that that's the default to it, because every time in the Old Testament somebody encounters the presence of God, what they experienced wasn't holy awe and reverence. What they experienced was fear. Shaking in their boots, I'm fixing to be a pile of dust on the ground with smoke coming out of the middle of it. Fear. It was an experience of, I'm fixing to die right now, here on the spot. Remember we said that wisdom is skillfully living in reality. And Proverbs begins, the first section of Proverbs begins by what Kimberly pointed out. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Repentance isn't about wanting to do away with the consequences of our actions. That's not what repentance is. It's a fear of God that has established all truth. That's what repentance is. It's seeing as God as the one who is the source, the author of truth. It's been interesting this last week with all the politics that have been going on, and wherever you fall in the politics, you know, I thought it was interesting. You know, there's a in the whole Judge Kavanaugh thing that's been out, one of the key things that was put forward was his calendar that he still has from 1982. That's pretty crazy that he has that. And I was thinking, in 36 years from now, people are just going to literally scroll back through Instagram and see, where was I on that day? That's what it's going to look like in the future. And everybody that's hearing this and seeing everything that's going on, and everybody's going, and when we think back to our own foolish decisions, all of us have things in our past that we're like, man, I hope nobody ever finds out about that. Here's the reality. We'll stand before a God of the universe, and all of it will be on full display. There will be no, this is how I saw it, this is how I think it happened. It won't be any of that. We're going to stand before God and say, I got nothing. Here it all is, right?
Sorry.
It's all right. I didn't remind people to put their phones on church mode. So it's all good, man. It's all good. Wisdom is skillfully living in reality. This repentance that we're talking about is that we have foolishly lived our lives in sin, saying, God, I don't believe you. I don't believe your reality. I know what you have said. I just don't like it. So I'm not going to do it. And one day we will stand before Him in holy awe and we'll experience the fear of the Lord. Or we can experience the fear of the Lord now. Which is why she said, why weren't they listening? Why? It wasn't because they didn't like the idea of good ideas, good wisdom. It's that it wasn't rooted in the fear of the Lord. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. It wasn't a part of what they were about. Verse 32 says, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Remember we said that one who persists in being simple, why will you who are simple, why will you continue love being simple? He says, for the simple are killed by just simply their turning away. They say, well, I guess, you know, I guess I don't have to find an answer to this. And the complacency of fools, the mocker, the one who says, yeah, I know what it is to say, but who cares? I'll figure it out later. They're complacent. That destroys them. Both the ignorant and the learned are judged according to God's standard and nobody else's. You're not judged according to anybody else's standards. You're not going to be judged according to a conservative standard or a liberal standard or a Western standard or an Eastern standard. It's just going to be God's standard, and that's what we're going to stand before. But thank God for all the buts that are in the Bible. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me, wisdom, will dwell securely and will be at ease without dread of disaster. When repentance and belief are the foundation of your wisdom, literally faith, which is a coin of two sides, always has belief, always has repentance. That's what faith always has. When that's the foundation of your wisdom, the result could not be more different than it was for the simple and the fool. Remember what wisdom said? They will call upon me, or literally they'll ask me, but I won't answer them. And they will seek me diligently, but will not find me. That was what wisdom said, right? What does the gospel change? Luke 11, verse 9 begins, and Jesus says, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Remember in our passage today where wisdom said, if you turn at my reproof, reproof being what you're doing is wrong, don't do it. That's what reproof is. If you turn or repent at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my Spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Your future is not defined by your past. This is the message of the gospel. Your future is not defined by your past. Your future is defined by what you do next. That's your future. Have you made incredibly bad decisions? I have. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. Have the fear of the Lord, realizing He is who He said He is. He's done what He said He's going to do. That He makes all things new. That God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Jesus saves us from self-destruction. When it comes to the reality of wisdom, you can not be a Christian and be a wise person. To a point. But at the end, when you will stand before God, ultimately, you'll have to say, on the biggest thing, who sits upon the throne of my heart, there's only one who's worthy of that place. And it's not you. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your culture. It's not your society. It's not your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's not the opinion of others. The only one who is worthy to sit upon the throne is Jesus. He's it. And to reject that truth is to look at God and say, your reality isn't true. That's not true. Wisdom yells. This is what this whole section is called. Wisdom stands in the middle of public life and yells for people to see. And it's on spiritual things, about the fear of the Lord and our salvation and the work of God in our hearts and lives. And it's on the incredibly practical. That's the nature of the whole rest of this book that we're going to study about. God cares about the practical things of your life. Because the practical things of your life impact your ability to have a clear witness to the truth of who God is. And dear Christian, know this. If you profess to be a follower of Jesus, how you live your life depicts what you believe about Jesus to the rest of this world. If you live your life in a flippant manner, if you live your life in such a way as to say, yes, I know that God has said, these things ought not be a part of my life, but I don't really care. I love Jesus. I don't care about what He had to say. The world's going to see that. And they're going to believe that. That's what they're going to believe. They're not going to believe that you love Jesus. They're not going to believe that Jesus is worthy. That He is that treasure buried in the field that is worth selling everything that we have to go buy that field, because that is where Jesus is. Wisdom yells. The question is, are we willing to listen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have clearly given us wisdom. You've showed it to us. You've showed us truth. And You've led us to the place of understanding that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And God, as we begin to seek to skillfully live the life that You have given us in the reality of this fallen and broken world, God, would You help us to continually look to You? And when we falter, when we fail, God, let that not be the thing that defines us because of Jesus, because You have purchased those things, You've paid for those things. God, let those be the things that allow us to turn to You in repentance and faith. And to continue to point ourselves and those that are around us towards the risen Savior who loves us and has called us according to wisdom. God, there are some here today that are defining their life right now based upon what has happened to them in their past, what they've done in their past, what's been done to them in their past. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, would You reveal to them that in You they are new creations. When they have turned to You in faith, all things are made new. That they don't have to live in some kind of a victim mentality or in a screw-up mentality, but that they can live according to the wisdom that You put forward for them next. That might be as simple as just believe. Would You just believe today? Father, we thank You for this incredible word, this good news of Jesus Christ. Transform our hearts and minds to be people of wisdom, skillfully living life in reality according to Your truth. We thank You for the power of Your word, and we thank You for how it changes our hearts and minds. And God, if there's some here today who don't know You this way, I pray, God, that You, Holy Spirit, would not give them rest until their heart finds rest in You. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've been blessed by the hearing of God's Word. Feel free to connect with us at www.galenabiblechurchak.com and subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or at galenamissions.podbean.com.